two, three, four.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
We are live today with our good brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who has been fighting a good fight before many of us was born. How are you feeling today, comrade? How's everything going with you?
Oh, brother, I am well. As I say, every day is a new day and a new beginning. So let us begin this one well.
Right on. Hey, man, we know that, there's so much stuff that we would like to rap about in so little time. But I know that, just getting to the meat of it, we know that you've been fighting for fighting this whole health situation for a minute. You know, tell us how that's going right now. I know that you recently had surgery back a few months ago. How's your health right now? Is it pretty strong or?
It is. It really is. My health is, I'm a biased observer.
Right on.
My health is excellent, though. And, I just keep moving every day. I have a walk for about an hour when we're in the yard. And if we're not in the yard, if the weather is inclement, you walk on the block. I just keep on walking. That's one of the good pieces of advice that the good doctors told me about, which is to walk. And it's a perfect exercise, and I just walk. So,
right on.
Still walking.
Right on. We'll keep on walking as the song goes. We know that this December marks 40 years since you were railroaded. You spent 30 on death row in solitary confinement. 10 of those was after a federal judge ordered the death sentence overturned. Your strength has just been impeccable. Along with that, you recently dropped a commentary called Movement Pains. And in it, you spoke about the oppressed and abuse of power within the movement. Can you speak to that? Because of the fact that that's prevalent right now. And we know it's always been.
Well, I think about things from different perspectives. So, when I write, I try to be original in my thinking and not just additive of what others are saying. So, if I'm not bringing anything original to the table, I'm not talking.
Right.
I'm just echoing. And, echo can create reverb. And radio, that ain't cool.
Yes, sir.
So, I want to bring something new to the table. So, that means you have to kind of think things through and just bring it when it's there, when it's timely.
Right on.
When the time is right. The movement has shifted as life has shifted. But on the whole, I think that this is really a wonderful period, right, to be alive because people are awake. I was going to say awakened, and I was tempted to say woke, but people have awakened to really the poisons of the system in ways they haven't been for decades. There are a lot of people who never lived during the 60s. That was one of the freest moments I know in my own kind of personal life as being part of a group of revolutionaries known as the Black Panther Party. But
right on.
Those periods repeat themselves, right, in cycles throughout history, right? And, given the technology that brings people face-to-face with the George Floyd situation and similar situations around the country, many people have awakened
That's right.
At a modern day legal lynching. And it, you know, it freaked them. It freaked them out.
Right.
Right? Because they couldn't believe it. And it's like, you know, this ain't a TV show.
That's right.
It's a reality. You get it?
Right.
And the real truth behind that is that it happens damn near every day.
That's right.
But people don't see it. They don't feel it. When you're looking at a man in his 40s crying for his mama,
that's
because
right.
he knows, right, that he has moments left to live. Because he, as he explained, he can't breathe. Right? Then that's an awakening moment. And so, you know, you take advantage of that moment and you build on it. Right? You teach people about the history of the United States, the history of white supremacy, the history of colonialism and imperialism. And you build. And you build. And you build. This is a time for movement building. All around the world. And think about this. When George Floyd happened, it wasn't a national thing. It was a global thing. You know, people demonstrated in like Korea, Japan, Indonesia, England, France, Germany, literally all across the world, because what they felt, what they saw, what they experienced was a human being killed by the state with cold complicity, right? And it's stuff like that builds movements and creates struggles to carry us through the next dark time.
Right on. And the beauty of you is the fact that you've always had your finger to the pulse of the streets. I remember we reached out to you when Troy Davis was on death row. I reached out to Pam and Noel Hanrahan, and they said, yeah, you know, Mumia said that he's going to support the Troy Davis situation. There you were, fresh off of death row yourself, and you were pushing for others. You know, your strength, like I said, it's impeccable. I want to ask you real quick, because I know we are pressed for time, but what is the role, or what should be the role in journalism, or with journalists these days, because of the fact that we know that part of your sacrifice was your reporting on MOVE and other atrocities that were going on in Philadelphia. Can you speak to that?
The role of a journalist is to be in a revolutionary perspective. I should say a revolutionary journalist as opposed to a corporate journalist. But the role of a journalist, in my mind, is to be a tribune of the people. To, as you suggested, to touch the pulse of the people. To feel what they feel.
You have 1 minute left.
And to reflect that which they do not, so that we can, again, build movements that are moving at a higher frequency and a higher vibration, to pull people together and to inspire them to do that which we know is possible because it has happened in the past. Anything that has happened in the human past is possible in the human future. That's both negative, but it's also positive. So we can build, we can grow. And we have to think along those terms, because as a man thinketh, and as a woman thinketh, so it is. So let us come together, as George Jackson reminded us.
Right on. We want to talk today about the roots of resistance. What we did is we took some questions from our viewers, from our listeners, and we're going to pose them to Mumia, and we'll see if somebody want to rock with. Some questions that come from some of our folks. I'm sure some of these you've been asked before and some you may not, but one of the questions was, looking back at your youth in Philadelphia, what was the specific lightning bolt moment or encounter with the Black Panther Party that shifted you from a curious observer to a committed organizer?
Well,
written before that I was kicked into the party. And I was being facetious in a sense. 1968, George Wallace comes to town. He's running.
This is a call from Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Mahanoy.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Running for president, and he's campaigning in Philadelphia, you know.
Wow.
So three or four of us from North Philly go down to where he's having his rally, and we protest. You know, we're in there hollering Black Power. Well, you know, the security got crazy. People were throwing things at us, calling us all kinds of N-words and all that. So when they got us out, you know, we went to the bus to go back downtown. And, well, it didn't end up well for all of us, because all of us were beaten by police, plain clothes, and hospitalized. And I'm sure anyone who's ever been beaten by cops knows, you know, what that's about. And when a sister showed me a magazine called Ramparts magazine. I believe it was called Ramparts.
Yes, sir.
And then she gave me a copy of the newspaper, The Black Panther, and I looked at that. I could not believe, you know, that people this beautiful and, you know, organized existed in the world. And I got hungry for them. And luckily for me, around the same time, some brothers began organizing, and I, you know, I just jumped into the group and helped found the local chapter in Philadelphia.
And, this is a call from
Pennsylvania State Correctional Institution, Mahanoy.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
To be a young person at that time, which was a revolutionary time in America and around the world, was one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had. And I have no regrets. I loved it. And I got sent around the country in different chapters and branches, saw and talked to Black people from different parts of the USA, from the north as far up as Boston, and the south as far south as Winston-Salem, you know. And it was just wonderful. East, west, the whole nine.
Wow. To hear you saying George Wallace in Philadelphia sounds rather insane. that sounds like a nightmare to an extent. I want to ask, like, your top three freedom fighters, who would they be? And how do their specific strategies influence your worldview today?
It would have to be people like Kwame Nkrumah, Frantz Fanon, Huey Newton, you know, people like that. And for different reasons, but they're all freedom fighters, and they all played a role in the Black freedom movement, either here or in Africa. Kwame Nkrumah became the first independent prime minister of Ghana. Frantz Fanon, of course, played a role in the Algerian Revolution and then wrote The Wretched of the Earth. You know, when it was first published, that book was called The Bible of the Black Revolution. And Huey and Bobby, in October of 1966, organized the Black Panther Party and really gave purpose and direction to the lives of thousands Black youth in 44 chapters and branches across the country by giving birth to the Black Panther Party and attracting young people who wanted to be a part of that. And, you know, the Black Panther Party made some real gain in terms of reaching the people, serving the people, and struggling for Black freedom in America. You know.
Right on, right on. We talk about Fanon, and we've had Murray Fanon, who you are familiar with, on the show in the past. What about, you know, Fanon being a man who was, for all practical purposes, he made his transition at age 36. What was it about Fanon? Because when you talk about, for me, my own admittance, if I were to say my favorite book, it would definitely be Wretched at Earth, and Battle of Algiers would be my favorite film. It felt like a soundtrack. But for you, yeah, what was it that, why Fanon and Algiers? I mean, we understand some of the other folks, but for you, what motivated you to say, you know, Fanon's my kind of bag?
Well, I think a lot of people, especially who were part of the Black Freedom Movement and groups like the Black Panther Party, remember there were other groups in other parts of the country that had similar, if not almost identical ideas. Fanon meant a lot because, not so much or only because of his ideas, which were profound. I mean, this was the cat was a psychiatrist, okay? What did that say? He knew the workings of the mind. He was a psychologist, a psychiatrist. He was a revolutionary. He was all those things. And for a lot of people, it meant something to them to see a Black man coming from the West, right? Moving to Africa, North Africa, but Africa to be sure, and working against colonialism and imperialism and fighting for freedom in an African country, I speak of Algeria. That meant something to young Black people who saw a man on the cover of that book, who could have been their cousin, their uncle, their brother, their father, you know. And one of the reasons why members of the party were so committed to reading and studying Fanon's ideas in the rest of the earth was because Bobby was clever enough to give Huey a copy of that book when they were forming the Black Panther Party in October of 1966. Bobby would later write that Huey read The Wretched of the Earth six times.
Wow.
Six times. So it permeated his conscience and it colored how he saw the world, how he developed his ideological framework, and how he understood, you know, global, not to mention national revolutions. And, you know, the party was always deeply criticized for depending on what was called the lumpen, right? The very poor, the people who don't have an investment in the working class but are considered, lumpen is actually a German word for lumpen proletariat. I mean, the people beneath the working class, in a way. The hustlers, the prostitute, that kind of thing. What does Fanon say about the lumpen? He says that because they are not tied to the colony, they are the spearhead of the revolution. Well, Huey read that, and it made sense to him, and it really did impress his ideas about ideology, who to get to, who to organize, and how to build on people who would be fighters against the colonialists and the imperialists. So, you know, Fanon had a deep and profound impact on Huey's reading and thinking. And therefore, through Huey, he had an impact on all members of the party who were required to read Fanon when they joined the party.
Right on, right on. I definitely appreciate you sharing that, you know, and again, that's, you know, I would agree with you that would probably still be what I would call a revolutionary Bible. For a young person today who is overwhelmed by the information age, would that be the book you would consider the North Star for understanding systemic oppression, or would you point them in another direction?
Well, I would, if I, you know, created a book list, that would be at the top of the book list. Why? You know, Fanon was notoriously a truth teller. He did not bite his tongue. And he was a comrade to people like Kwame Nkrumah and other leaders of liberation movements in Africa. And he predicted what would happen if African states...
You have 1 minute left.
...took the soft path instead of the hard path and did not truly change their societies and cut off contacts with the former colonial leaders and the economic powers. And everything he has said, if you read The Wretched of the Earth, you'll look in Africa and see it from north to south. Because the colonialists, he said, never give up, right? And they never repent because they always want to take over and run stuff and exploit people. Okay. And that's the nature of the beast, man. He did not bite his tongue. He gave it up raw dick. And that's, you know, we're in this moment today. I call it the neo-imperialist moment. We're going around stealing oil from countries, y'all.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye. All right,
brother. No doubt, brother. Appreciate you. That was our good brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal. We had a wonderful discussion around Fanon, Frantz Fanon. Indeed, Wretched of the Earth is one of the most powerful books that you can run across. Definitely make sure you, if you don't own Wretched of the Earth, make sure you get it. And if you don't, if you already have it, make sure you share it. You know, because indeed, as Lumiere put it, Wretched of the Earth is definitely a quote unquote revolutionary Bible. Again, you're checking out Black Power Media. We want to remind you that we are an alternative platform. We're bucking up on our fifth year anniversary here at Black Power Media, which will be February 17th. So make sure you look out, be on the lookout for some of what we bring to the table. I'm your host, Kalonji Changa. We want you to stay on the right side of the barricades. Until next time, we'll see you soon. We say free Mumia.
Hard Knocks Radio. We're rocking with Picasso.
What?
And Maya.
Who?
And my last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Venezuela. This is a stick up. It is time for all of us to say what we see right before us. An empire attacks a poor, weaker state and demands the lion's share of its richest raw material, oil. Why is this not a stick-up? They demand it and get it. Remember that old corny line from the movies, "Your money or your life"? Here it's, "Give me your oil or else." Or, even worse perhaps, "This oil is ours. We're taking most of it." Really? Honestly? Doesn't that sound straight up like a stick-up? And as if that wasn't enough, the seizure of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores was and is a kidnapping. Think of this, okay? When have you heard of U.S. presidents waging unjust wars on false and specious pretexts? We need think no further than the hellish wars in Iraq or Afghanistan, where tens of thousands of people died under grotesque U.S. bombing campaigns. Remember weapons of mass destruction? Now, who got busted for that disaster? Maduro and his wife are not subject to American law. They should be returned home, period, immediately. And the natural resources of Venezuela should remain in the hands of the people of Venezuela, not the Americans. With love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
The rain falls hard. An old man sleeps, no roof, no guard. Under the freeway, lost in cold. Somebody's father left out alone. What mother could picture this sight? Her child forgotten, lost to the night. $1 million homes lying the way, but for him there's no shelter, no place to stay. What happens to us when we fall from grace?
Fall from grace.
When the world turns its back and we lose our place. Why do the evil people never ever die? While the good ones suffer and ask the sky, is there no justice for the ones who cry? Will we ever rise? Will we ever thrive? As this old man shivers in the dead of night, rich people passing their lives full of light, they turn a blind eye, too busy to care, while he's left to freeze in the cold, cold air. Why do the evil people never ever die? While the good ones suffer and ask the sky, is there no justice for the ones who cry? Will we ever rise? Will we ever thrive? Why do evil people keep on living? Why so many who are good keep forgiving? One day, someday, things got to change. We can't keep suffering. We can't remain the same.
Welcome to PNN, Poor People's Revolutionary Radio. This is Muteado Silencio con Voces de Migrantes en Resistencia, in studio with fellow formerly Household Poor Boy and Poverty Scholar, Tiny.
Everything has to be white. Everything has to be white. Didn't they tell us? that only white is right. Everything has to be white. Tell your neighbors and your babies and all the pseudo-slavers, everything has to be white. You can't be black or brown or down or from another town unless you were white. That's the only way to please the ice and the police and the bright white police lights and the sheriffs and the landlords and the bosses and the fascist terror. Everything has to be white. White like the diamonds they stole from the African mines. White like hospital beds we changed you to for medical apartheid. White like the walls inside the jail cells, the detention center hells. Didn't you hear me? Only white is right and on point and okay and safe. And if you aren't white, get in line for a job and a gun, because we could give you a badge and a gun and cover your unwhite life with all that white Jesus our Savior says is right, because everything has to be white. Didn't you get the memo that came overnight? You better move fast and don't hesitate to ask for your makeup lesson on how to sell out for a stack of bloody cash that you can turn into a salve to rub on your skin and wipe off that pesky melanin and leave all the culture and life you had with kin. Because only white is right, and black or brown or red or down can't live in this settler town. Because only white is right. But what about if they decide they don't like your color? That silver is the new mother. That all that fake hate for the melanin is merely an excuse to bring your replacements in. The billions of machine-made men. Oh no, you trying to confuse me with your lies. Don't confuse me, don't try. My boss told me everything just has to be white.
On today's Poor People's Radio, we talk with comrades from Coalition of the Homelessness on the lies of the so-called homeless camps. And then we speak to family from the Black Alliance for Peace on the violence on temporary protection status, TPS. But first, we will hear from some of the ruthless radio reporters.
Well, I've been looking for housing for about maybe 3 years, going to agency after agency, and nobody seems to have the resources or the support. And so my job, I lost hours because I was taking care of my dad. He has liver disease and lung cancer. I lost the job because I was having to go back and forth to the hospital to take care of him.
I work doing street health, connecting people to resources. It's hard still for me that connect people on the street in San Francisco to resources to get housing. It's hard for me to get housing.
You just heard from just some of our Poor News Network Ruthless Radio reporters, folks who are currently on the streets. Again, whether we working or not, housing for poor people, for low-income people, for no-income people is not there. And these non-profiteers, these giant corporation non-profiteers that get all this money to house us are closing the shelters that they do have. The incarceration of houseless people has already been escalating. All of these politrickster mayors, when they come up with their solutions, really what they are is forms of carceral detention. You don't even need Trump. Daniel Lurie came out with his State of the City, and he called it, get this, a reset center. Reset center. This is what you do. You go into the reset center and somehow get reset like you're a computer. Yeah. And if you don't, aka whatever hoop they ask you to jump through, you immediately go to jail. And they're giving our relatives right now who are on the street in Frisco fines and jail time 6 months to a year for the sole act of being houseless and being picked up a second time. And that's their solution. They would like to incarcerate people for being houseless without any repercussions. They're already doing it. And in this climate, what they love to do is count houseless people. For what? Like I always say, no matter how many times you count me, study me, or jail me, it doesn't give me a home. So it's our blessing and pleasure to bring in a badass warrior, a sister who is in this struggle along with us, our sister movement, Coalition on Homelessness, Welcome, Lupe, to Poor People's Radio.
Thank you for having me.
What is this Lori administration about? We already know what they did with the criminalizing of our relatives living in their own RVs. How has that looked for you?
We're really asking for more permanent housing, permanent supportive housing for folks. And we're seeing that not just the mayor, but our supervisors are taking us back several years and trying to even put more stipulations as part of permanent supportive housing. We're just seeing a number of roadblocks towards those goals. And that's something that this mayor does not stand for. He stands for creating more shelters. And even when he talks about shelters, he's gone back on that promise several times. We're seeing the closure right now of two hotel shelters that were mostly servicing people with behavioral health issues. We're seeing them close down, and we're seeing them close down due to NIMBY pressure. We're seeing the mayor really backing down to that NIMBY pressure that has forced this administration to close down two shelters in the Tenderloin.
Appreciate you so much, Lupe.
Yes.
And hopefully, I know we'll see you very soon on the streets fighting the good fight. You're listening and viewing Poor People's Radio. That's PNN, not CNN. We do not hide the truth behind corp rape, commercial lies, or control. And we're blessed to have another warrior with Coalition on Homelessness on the street every day doing the work. Welcome, Lucas.
Hi, thank you, Tiny, for having me.
Can you tell listeners and viewers what's happening right now to our relatives trying to survive on these streets in Yalamu?
What's happening on our streets, Lurie, is not doing anything new. It's a lot of sweeps. And what that looks like is what I've been calling a public panopticon. At any moment on the street, you're surveyed, whether that be by an actual cop camera, whether that be a private camera that's shared to the cops, whether that be by a citizen who's in a house, who's writing a report about what they perceived a homeless body in front of their business, in front of their house. And then within 24 hours, you'll have a cop respond. And not just one cop, it'll be four cops and DPW laborers with them to clear out people's stuff. What this has gotten us to is the fact that there are no homeless communities in San Francisco anymore. There are no encampments anymore in San Francisco. If you see a tent, it's only been there at most since late at night, and it's gone by early morning. And if you're found with a tent, you're approached by a bunch of cops, DPW workers, and literally people are told, you either give up everything you own and you walk away, or you go to jail. So people leave everything they own. And this is illegal. It's an illegal practice. You know, I'm hearing from houseless women on the street who are not safe. They've had all of their survival gear taken, their tent taken from them. Every category, queer violence, gender-based violence, black and brown folks are being brutalized by cops. It is a really bad time now. What's really scary is just seeing the kind of pride that a lot of housed people take in filing these sorts of complaints.
Can you tell listeners what organizations are facing?
The mayor is trying to consolidate control in all aspects. So they're rewriting the city charter. They're gutting a bunch of the citizen commissions. They're trying to wrench away money and influence from nonprofits that are doing really good work, like SF City Vitals, like Harm Reduction Therapy Center, like the Gubbio Project. It's nonprofits that center the dignity and respect of homeless people on the streets, and they really cater to their needs rather than the thoughts of the Lurie administration, this mayor's administration, that no, it needs to be carceral, it needs to be infantilizing, it needs to be paternalistic. No, we need to be serving the people where they're at. We need to be serving people with dignity. We need to be divesting away from the failed models. Failed models of sweeps, the failed models of criminalization, everything. And we need to be centering community care. And the nonprofits that do it, that a lot of unhoused people actually do trust and love, like SF City Vitals, are not only being defunded, some of them are disappearing. Vanguard lost their space on 6th Street. It is really devastating. And they're being replaced by the likes of Salvation Army.
Starvation Army, you mean?
Carceral, cruel-minded, large bureaucracies that unfortunately profit, literally, even though they're nonprofits, from the exploitation of the people they claim to serve.
Thank you, Lucas. We love you. I want to bring in our beautiful sister, Junebug. Junebug, welcome back to Poor People's Radio, family.
Thank you for having me here. Born and raised in Frisco, the 415.
Tell listeners and viewers what's happening with one of the beautiful movements that you support and work with, City Vitals.
San Francisco City Vitals is a San Francisco-based nonprofit, and we serve the unhoused. We do relationship-based, community-rooted care. Our work is driven by community health workers. I'm a community health worker. I come from the very same communities I get to serve. And at San Francisco City Vitals, they value the lived experience. It's more value than you coming in and saying you got a degree from social work. Most of my coworkers have been homeless as well and unhoused. And so some of the things that we've done so far here in San Francisco is we supported 1,000 plus San Francisco residents experiencing homelessness, chronic health conditions, and repeated disruptions across systems. So sometimes the systems that are very in place that are supposed to help and our community is trying to navigate actually also become problematic and also can practice a lot of discriminatory practices. So we work alongside people whose lives do not fit neatly into programs. We work alongside people who face the greatest barriers to care and stabilization. And we basically do a lot of like system navigation. What we do is we go with our folks. Mm-hmm. We go with you. And that's very important because sometimes folks can, by the time you get to the place you need to be, you forget what the f*** you gotta say, excuse my language. You're, you know, disoriented. You haven't maybe slept the night before. We deal with folks who sleep on the street. And it's very sad that we're facing possibly having to face some type of closure. We're going to do our best to try to stay open, SF City Vitals, to continue to be of service to the community. What that will look like may be different than what it looks like now. And that's really sad because we have really made an impact in our community. And we have actually strengthened the healthcare for over 400 people. We have housed 180 people, have reduced isolation. So we need legislative advocacy to say this is a wonderful organization. It's vital to our San Francisco community, to our most vulnerable folks in our city. Please keep us open so we can continue to do the work.
Thank you, JB.
And now it's a winter. Winter in America. And all of the hillers have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Lord knows it's winter in America.
You're listening and watching Poor People's Radio. That's PNN, not CNN. Now we're going to move into the other settler terror that hits us poor people, which is, you know, these false border terror. And we're blessed to have one of our family members who is on these front lines all the time, as well as a poverty scholar and a Poor Magazine family elder. Jeremy Miller, welcome to Poor People's Radio.
Happy to be here, fam.
Tell listeners and viewers what is going on with now the new threat on TPS.
Being clear, we have an explicitly white supremacist government here in the United Capitalist Prison States of America. Now, the fact of the government of the United Capitalist Prison States of America being racialist and racist, that is not new. The newer part, at least something that we haven't seen in a good century or so, is the absolute explicit nature of it. No one's trying to hide anything anymore. The euphemisms are gone. So a big piece of this is attempting to shift blame for all kinds of different social ills and struggles onto immigrants, and in particular, black and brown immigrants. It's not accidental which immigrants are being targeted. And in this particular vein, Haitians have been the most severely targeted for over 40 years. Detained at higher rates, deported at faster speeds. The levels of asylum grants is barely cracking 4 to 5% of cases. The tormenting and targeting of Haitian refugees did not begin with Donald Trump, but he just takes it to extraordinary levels. Turning to what TPS is, It's temporary protected status, and this is a designation for nationals of selected countries where it's been determined that their country of origin is in struggle, whether it be from natural disaster or armed conflict. TPS is a program that was started in 1990. And before TPS, everything was just ad hoc. Everything was effectively just at the whim of the executive branch of the federal government. Not that anyone got any relief at all. But embedded in the legislation is a provision that effectively states that the government shall continue the protected status if there is a finding that these conditions continue. It's continuously renewed, and there's not a particular limit on how many times it can be renewed. So the last determination had the TPS potentially sunsetting on February 3rd of this year. That Kristi Noem and Donald Trump, they fully intended to complete this termination, and they announced this at the end of last year. Specifically, I think it was around the 26th of November. It got challenged in a federal lawsuit brought by some very courageous Haitian TPS holders. And at the last minute, one day before it was supposed to terminate, it was stayed. And, you know, I think there's some really great language here in this extraordinary federal court decision that really clarifies the terms. Quote, Secretary Noem complains of strains unlawful immigrants place on our immigration enforcement system. Her answer, turn 352,959 lawful immigrants into unlawful immigrants overnight. She complains of strains to our economy. Her answer, turn employed lawful immigrants who contribute billions in taxes into the legally unemployable. So that's the judge.
Jeremy, appreciate you so much. Powerful poverty scholar, a warrior. You're listening and watching Poor People's Radio. That's PNN, not CNN. Moot, tell us what's happening on February 21st.
So yes, family, come and join us on February 21st at the Berkeley Black Rep. If you haven't seen this beautiful, powerful medicine movie called Crushing Wheelchairs happening at the Black Rep on the 21st at 6 p.m., come and join us.
And like we say, we're not acting, we're living. It's a new genre film. This is us telling our own stories through theater and poetry.
So that's all for this edition of Poor People's Radio. To get your complete podcast, go to Poor Magazine on SoundCloud or poormagazine.org or wherever you get your podcast from. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, X, Blue Sky, at Poor Magazine or at Poverty Scholar or Poor News Network on YouTube. Gratitude to Anthony Fess, Anita Johnson, and David D for the media access. All power to the people.
Solid ground, 'cause everything around me is falling down, and all I want is someone to help me. I had a job, but the boss man let me go. He said, I'm sorry, but I won't be needing your help no more. I said, please, Mr. Boss Man, I need this job more.
Hard Knock Radio takes the mic. Let the dialogue begin.
From the heart of the culture, where the beats do sway,
hip hop, pop, politics, and culture
rule the day.
Rock it on your radio.
Hard Knock, rock it on your radio.
Hard Knock, rock it on your radio.
Speaking truth to power.
Hard Knock, rocking on your radio. Hard Knock, rocking on your radio.
Speaking truth to power.
Hard Knock, rocking on your radio. Hard Knock, rocking on your radio.
Due to unprecedented civil unrest,
All forms of protest are now classified as acts of terrorism. This is not a test. This is not a test.
Coward, traitor, liar, foe, grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show, line them up like dominoes. Never bow to a in a toupee, yelling free speech, but controlling what the news say. The Lorax called, it's time to find a new shade. RuPaul's never seen a beat that bad on Drag Race. Ain't it obvious the person in the office is a racist? Brad came in the mail, but he opposes immigration. And someone's apple leader, not a foreign armed invasion. That would be the mass man reading graduation ceremonies. Unmarked van snatching people off the street. Broken Amendments 5, 10, and 14, at least. But please tell me again, oh, this is still democracy?
Repeat. This is not a test.
Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show. Line them up like dominoes. Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show. Line them up like dominoes. Please explain it to me. The man in charge of the economy's got six bankruptcies. Huh? Asking ChatGPT to define GDP, defund an education when half the country can't read. Well, now it's clicking for me. You need the people asleep, and knowledge is the greatest threat to propaganda machines. Remember, books don't burn, they just quietly vanish. So don't wait till it's too late to panic. Iceberg, Titanic, threat level orange. Don't you see that they're ignoring our rights? It's fascism wrapped in red, blue, and white. Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show, line them up like dominoes. Coward, traitor, liar, foe. Grab a tyrant by the toe. Fascist puppet show, line them up like
dominoes.
It's a threat level orange.
Warning.
It's a threat level orange.
Warning.
It's a threat level orange. Orange. The American dream's like any other. Open your eyes and it's gone.
Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN at it again. Sandman, Adamant, Chris Juwan Kim. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock, radio, let's go. Big shout out to Need and Davey D. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though.
Yeah.
Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Yeah. Come on.
Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats trying to eat till they ready from the steel gray beef. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with their great bread making. Second piece to the lovers, our neighbor to please. Made us some shade on the name in the street. Hating that they made APs. Trying to eat till they're ready from the steel gray beef. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Second piece to the lovers, our neighbor to please. Made us some shade on the name in the street.
Real Talk Radio.
You are now rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coach. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
Let's go.